This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussein will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa, khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya, wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya, amma ba'd. Over the past few days, we've been spending this time of our khatira talking about our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning about our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, discussing the virtues of remembering the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and sending salawat upon him. Today will be our last discussion on this topic before we move on to the next subject, inshallah, and aziz tomorrow. When we read salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or when we focus on the ayah of Surah Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us of two things. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Now two commands come. صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Two independent, two unique commands. The first command is, send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Generally when we translate the word salawat, the English word used is salutations. But the truth is, neither do I or you know what that word even means. Like, what does salutations mean? You don't use saluting someone. Like, we don't use that word in common English. So in order to understand what the word salat actually means, I want to first define it in Arabic and then redefine it in English. In Arabic, the word salat comes in many, many, many meanings. If you were to just look at how the Quran uses the word salat and how the word salat is used in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find it being used in over 15 unique definitions. How many? 15. And that's a common thing in the Arabic language, by the way. One word represents multiple things. For example, the word ayn. It means the eye, but it also refers to spring, right? The water that comes from the ground. The word mawla, it can mean the master, it can also mean the servant. Multiple meanings in the Arabic language. So the word salawat comes in multiple meanings, but the asal, the root meaning of salah is ad-du'a. Even in prayer, the prayer salat that we read, the root meaning of that word is, the actual meaning of that word is ad-du'a, to invocate and to supplicate. Now, sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam means that a person is praying for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But however, this word has a unique meaning. And the scholars, when defining it, there are multiple opinions. They say when you send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what this actually means is you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya Allah, shower all the khayr and good and barakah and your mercy upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Elevate his ranks, meaning you're asking good for him. On the other side comes the word as-salam. Salam means to be safe, right? To be in the state of peace as well, okay? But it means to be secure, to be safe. Salamun alaykum la nabtaghi al-jahilin. Peace be with you. We don't want anything to do with the ignorant people. You know, I seek peace from you, you seek peace from me. Meaning I want protection from you, and you want protection from me. So when you think of salat, think of it more as an active prayer. Oh Allah, give. And when you say salam, it's as if you're making a prayer of protection. Oh Allah, protect. I recall once when I was with my teacher, Sheikh Yusuf, and we were driving. And in England, they have these roundabouts. If you've ever been to Europe, it's a very confusing thing, but apparently it has a lot of benefit in keeping the traffic moving. So we were at a roundabout and I was pulling in and this guy almost went into me. So right when he almost went into me, my teacher, he said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. I thought that was an awkward dua to make right before an accident. But nonetheless, I just let it fly. I kept driving. A little while later, he said to me, Hussein, do you know what A'udhu Billah means? So this is now, by now I had studied 15 years, you know, gone through many interesting and deep sciences through my studies. And him asking this question, do you know what A'udhu Billah means? To me, it was a throw off. I was like, you know what? Like, everybody knows what that means. Why are you asking me that question? So I said to him, A'udhu Billah means I seek protection in Allah from shaitan, ar-rajim, the one who has been kicked out, the one who's been accursed. So he said to me, no, that's the translation. I'm not asking you for the tarjumah, the translation. I'm asking you for the ma'na, the meaning. There's a difference between the two. He said, the meaning of A'udhu Billah, let me explain it to you in my words. Imagine a child walking with his parent hand in hand. And as they're walking, they cut a corner. The child pulls his hand from his mother's hand and runs. And as he runs, in front of him, he sees a pit bull jump at the child. Now imagine how terrified that child is at that moment. Terrified, scared. This dog there. So the child runs around and it runs back to its mother. He says, when the child reaches its mother and the mother gets on her knees and embraces the child and gives the child the promise that nothing will happen to you as long as I'm protecting you, he said, you know the security that child feels at that time when the father embraces his child saying nothing will happen to you? He said, that's the security we're asking from Allah when we say, A'udhu billahi minashaitanir rajeem. Ya Allah, the dog's after me, shaitan's after me, and he's coming to bite me really hard, and I need a hug, I need protection, I need some love. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is offering His love, offering His protection to anyone who seeks it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as-salam, we are saying, Ya Allah, protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some scholars, when defining the difference between salat and salam, some say that salat, the virtue, the benefit of it is, when a person sends salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in return, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 salat upon him. You pray for mercy once for the Prophet of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 mercies your way. However, when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and salam, when you give salam to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the reward of that is that the Prophet of Allah gives his salam back in return. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wa alayka salam, peace be with you too. Some scholars, when defining the difference between salat and salam, they say salat is via Allah. So you're asking Allah for mercy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the mercy. As for salam, it's a greeting. It's directly to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why when you stand in front of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the original greeting is, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Then in addition to that, we also add, As-salatu wa salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. But the original greeting is, the greeting that you would give to another believer, to another Muslim, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, peace be with you, O Messenger of Allah, when you're in front of the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another thing I touched on yesterday, and I want to further discuss that today, that when we read salawat in our prayer, in our salah, we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallayta. By the way, let me just make one quick point here. When you're reading du'as, and particularly for those people who are aware of the Arabic language and have practiced it a little bit, it's important that you focus on the pronunciation of your du'as, of the letters, of the words that you're pronouncing. And the reason why I mention this right here, this may seem like a random tangent, it's not. I'm not talking about tajweed out of place, but this one has an impact. I was once in a community and one brother came to me. He said to me that, you know, I learned salawat upon the Prophet when I was a child. I'd like to read it to you so you can correct me if I'm making any mistakes. I said, go ahead. And he said, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. For those of you who understand Arabic, what you know is, salla yasullu means to withdraw a sword. Saiful maslul means an unsheathed sword. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad with a seen would translate as, oh Allah, withdraw your sword against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You change it and you read it the right way, Allahumma salli with a saad, that becomes what? Oh Allah, shower your mercy upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hum dua likhte rahe, tum dagha padte rahe. Ek nukte ne muhrim ko mujrim kar diya. Just a little deviation can have a big cause, big effect in the meaning, by the way. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallayta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. So why do we say, oh Allah, send mercy upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as you send mercy upon Ibrahim alayhi salam? Why Ibrahim alayhi salam? Why not another prophet? Why not Zakariya alayhi salam, Adam alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam? These are all great prophets of Allah. Why specifically Ibrahim alayhi salam? The reason is because every human being has a role model. Our role model as Muslims is who? لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Our role model, without doubt, is the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. However, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's role model was who? قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمٍ. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's top role model was Ibrahim alayhi salam. He always imitated and remembered Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam remembered the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made for him before the Prophet even came into existence, before he was even born. Hundreds of years ago, Ibrahim alayhi salam was standing side by side with his little boy Ismail alayhi salam. They just finished the construction of the Kaaba and they stood together and they made dua in an empty desert. And the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, made was, رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the translation of that dua is, O Allah, send amongst these people a messenger one day from amongst them. The only Prophet of Allah ever born in Mecca was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ismail alayhi salam was not born in Mecca Mukarramah. Ismail alayhi salam was not born in Mecca Mukarramah. The only Prophet after that dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam ever born in Makkah Mukarramah was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam always remembered that favor of Ibrahim alayhi salam making a dua for him at the end of the construction of the Kaaba. You know, standing in front of the Kaaba, Ya Allah, send Muhammad to these people. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood in front of the Kaaba one day, and to his companions he said, Ana da'watu Abi Ibrahim. I am the result of the dua that Ibrahim alayhi salam made hundreds of years ago. Wa bushra Isa. And I am a result of the glad tiding that Isa alayhi salam gave to his people, which is also referenced in the Quran in Surah Saf. And there are many similarities between the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was inspired by Ibrahim alayhi salam for many things. If you look at their lives, the Prophet's life sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in Ibrahim alayhi salam's life, you will find many similarities. Many things were common between the two. For example, you will notice that when Ibrahim alayhi salam was sent to the world, there was no believer left on the face of the earth who believed in Allah the way Allah should be believed in. That's why the narrations mention that the only believers alive were three. Ibrahim alayhi salam, his wife Sarah, and his nephew. What's his nephew's name? Lut alayhi salam. Many people don't know. Lut alayhi salam was Ibrahim alayhi salam's nephew. That these three people were the only believers alive on the earth. Similarly, when it came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, true iman had left the world. And we learned this from the narration of Salman al-Farsi, where his teacher said to him, now you will find pure monotheism in Medina Munawwara. Go and wait there, a prophet will come, he will migrate there. Until he comes, wait there for him. When he comes, believe in him, and these will be signs of his. You can read it in the narration of Salman al-Farsi, which is a very lengthy and long narration. Similarly, another commonality between both is that both communities, both families, Ibrahim alayhi salam's people and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's people, were both idol worshippers. Not only that, Ibrahim alayhi salam's father was the maker of the idols, he was the one who used to craft them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family, the Quraysh, were the custodians of the idols. Similarly, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he came to his father first, and his father was the first to reject him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was first rejected by Abu Lahab, his uncle. And the uncle is in the manzila of the ab, in the absence of the father. It's as if his father was the first person to reject him. Ibrahim alayhi salam then went to his immediate family. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to his immediate family. Ibrahim alayhi salam went to the people. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the people. Ibrahim alayhi salam went on the mountain and he looked into the stars, the moon and the sun. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat in Ghar Hira for days and nights reflecting over the stars, the moon and the sun on the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam, the first person to believe in him was his wife Sarah. The first person to believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. Ibrahim alayhi salam was the first to migrate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also made to the hijrah from Makkah Mukarramah to Medina Munawwara. Ibrahim alayhi salam had two harams, Haram Makki and Haram Qudsi, right? You guys know the other haram, Ibrahim alayhi salam, what's it called? We all know of Haram Makkah, we all know of Haram Medina, but what's the third one? What's that third big question mark? Al-Quds, Majd al-Aqsa. May Allah subhanahu say ameen to this dua. It's Ramadan, I make it from my heart because I've never been. And I have a desire to go. May Allah take us all to Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the barakat of Masjid al-Aqsa. The other day someone was going to Masjid al-Aqsa and I said to him, when you go there, give my salam to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Right? Because so many prophets of Allah are buried there. You guys know that, right? How many anbiya are buried in that holy land, in this sacred small area, but Mubarak. blessed. And the Quran talks about barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina, Surah Isra. When you look at the two, Ibrahim alayhi salam and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you find that they both had two harams. Ibrahim alayhi salam had two harams, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had two harams. They shared one haram that was together. What was that? Makkah. But as for their independent, and the unique thing about Medina Munawwara, one of my mashayikh used to say, had the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived only in Makkah Mukarramah, and if that was his only haram, someone could say that the sanctity of that city was not because of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was because of Ibrahim alayhi salam. But then Allah told the Prophet to migrate to Medina and to establish that the sanctity of the city is only all Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Other prophets were not granted sanctuaries like this. But the honor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such. No other prophet lived there. It was his city. It was his community. It's a place where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will rest until the day of judgment. You find that both of them were made to sacrifice their own sons. Ismail alayhi salam is sacrificed at the hands of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lost his own very child, Ibrahim, who passed away in the hands of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You find that Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown in the fire by his people. And when he was on his way down in that fire, Jibreel alayhi salam came and said, "Can I help you in any way?" And Ibrahim alayhi salam said, "Help from you, don't need it. Help from Allah, always dependent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam similarly was stoned by the people. And the angel that was responsible of the mountains came and said, "Give me the command, I will squash Taif between these mountains, sandwich them, destroy them." And Jibreel alayhi salam said, "As for you," the Prophet said, "As for you, I don't need any of your help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them when the time is right." The same pain was in their heart. The pain the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for the ummah was a very similar pain that Ibrahim alayhi salam also had for his people. And I always say that the most interesting similarity, or you can say that this one point really shows how connected the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was to Ibrahim alayhi salam. What kind of inspiration he took from Ibrahim alayhi salam. That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a child, what did he name him? Ibrahim. That in itself speaks volumes. You can imagine the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now after Nubuwwah. All the other children, they were born earlier on, right? This is the child that was born after Nubuwwah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is holding this child, and now he has so much ilm, Allahu Akbar. Quran being revealed and the depth of his knowledge, and he sits to choose a name. And out of all the names the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chooses, which one does he choose? Ibrahim. Which shows you that the rank that this man, Ibrahim alayhi salam, had. Suffice to say that if you want to understand how great of a person and inspiration Ibrahim alayhi salam was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention him as an individual in the Quran. Allah introduces him being equivalent to a whole nation. Inna Ibrahima kana ummatan. He was a nation in himself. He wasn't a one-man show. He was a whole nation. The Prophet sallallahu Ibrahim alayhi salam, before he passes away, he gathers his children together. And he says to them, "Ma ta'buduna min ba'di?" After I die, what will you do? Who will you worship after me? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as he leaves this world, he gathers the Sahaba together one last time, following in that tradition of Ibrahim alayhi salam, right till the end. And he says to them, "Be mindful of your salah and be just with those who you have authority over." In one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, soon before he passed away, just, you know, a few hours before, he said to them that make sure you stick firm to the oneness of Allah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Ibrahim alayhi salam was an inspiration for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. His acceptance by Allah was no secret. The scholars, they write, over 40,000 prophets were born through the lineage of Ibrahim alayhi salam. How many did I say? Over 40,000 prophets were born just through his children. Such a high rank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam desired that a similar rank be given to him and a similar rank be given to his ummah. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's inspiration was Ibrahim alayhi salam, what about people like you and I? Shouldn't we be inspired by great men like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, great men like Ibrahim alayhi salam, and all the other prophets that are mentioned in the Nusus, in the Quran, in the Sunnah? Make this a night that you make a commitment to yourself that your love for the prophets will remain forever, inshallah and aziz. You will always say, "Allahumma salli ala Muhammad," and read that before your dua, at the end of your dua, in your time allotted for your ibadah, and not only upon the Prophet. in one narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the companions that send salutations and peace upon the other prophets, just as you send it upon me too. There was one lady, she accepted Islam, she was Christian. She said to me that I always see Muslims sending salawat upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but what about Isa alayhi salam? Why don't you guys send salawat upon him? So I said to her, well, every time we say the name of the Prophet, what do we say? Alayhi salam, that's us conveying our greeting. But as for you asking, is there a particular hadith that tells us to send salawat upon other prophets? I'm going to have to look into this. And I kid you not, I searched and searched and searched until finally I came across the narration where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba that as you send salawat upon me, also send it upon other prophets as well. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the love of the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us their knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to implement the inheritance of theirs, their knowledge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrects us all with them in the highest gardens of paradise. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.